Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Hello, everybody.
I thought we lost Bishop Ben.
Bit of a lag there, but that's okay. Yeah. And so tonight we're... That's okay. So tonight we're talking about prayer.
What's that?
Yeah, really. And... About
what is that?
Despite Britney Spears' song, God is not a genie in a bottle. So we're going to talk about tonight. And hopefully give you some pointers to help you in your prayer life and maybe correct some of the misinformation about prayer that gets floated around out there some. So, to answer Reverend Mark's question here, prayer is when we essentially have a conversation with God. And, no, God doesn't always answer audibly to us, but it's our opportunity to go before Him and should be an equal mix of thanking Him for the things that He's provided and also our petitions, the things that we ask for. And sometimes part of prayer is just meditation, just sitting there in silence, being open to the Spirit, or reading Scripture to find a response from God on pertinent issues and allowing that to kind of settle in during our meditation and prayer time. You have anything to add to that?
No, you know, I think at its core and its base, prayer is, like you said, that conversation. Mm-hmm. It's us remembering that we can commune with God, have conversation. We think that the only time that we commune with God is at the communion table.
Right.
That just is a staple in our lives to remind us. It's very deep, of course, but it reminds us that we can commune on a regular basis as a whole with God. But it is about that conversation. It's about stilling ourselves, quieting ourselves, bringing our thoughts into order. Sometimes it's a difficult process, like you said. Meditation's a part of it. And dwelling on an exchange of communication, dwelling on answers, dwelling on questions. My grandmother used to always walk through the house having conversations with God all the time, just random stuff, and it taught me and reminded me that we can constantly communicate with God,
right?
Over and over and over. It doesn't have to. I always thought of prayer, and this is very much signaling of my background. I always thought prayer was when, you know, I saw my mom go into her bedroom, she'd shut the door, and we knew when she shut the door, we went and played with our toys or we'd watch something. You didn't go bother mom because she was in there praying for hours sometimes. And I always thought, there's no way that I can do that. I can't hours worth of praying. And I made this buildup of it was such a task, you know. And for some people that style of prayer is meaningful. That's not how I pray on the regular. I don't have those hours. But, you know, I spend time meditating on things, meditating on scripture, thinking throughout the day. And that's an attitude of prayer. That's an attitude of communing.
Right.
And, you know, I think we heighten our anxiety level to levels that we shouldn't when we think about prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to do, you know, I can't pray like a priest or a pastor or a bishop or a minister because I don't have the time. And, you know, priests, bishops, and ministers don't spend all day praying.
No.
We have other things that we're also doing.
Nope.
So, but I think in the simplest context is what you said. You know, it's that conversation.
Right. You know, Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing, but very few people have ever been able to actually achieve that, because that is a spiritual discipline. And most of the people that I know that have been able to achieve that kind of prayer life are typically people in monastic communities, you know, that are monks and friars, mm-hmm. who dedicate their lives to just praying. That's all they do. Or the story in The Way of the Pilgrim. It's a Russian book written years ago, translated into English in, I think, the 1970s or 80s. And it follows essentially a homeless man in Russia. And he goes around checking out various monasteries and what they call skeets in Russia to find out what praying without ceasing means. And one of the old monks gives him a book called the Filioque, which is a bunch of writings of the early church fathers, and specifically about various things that on how to pray and how to pray without ceasing. And so this homeless guy travels around and learns how to pray without ceasing. But that's essentially all he's doing, is spending all of his time learning and how to pray without ceasing. So for most of us who have secular jobs and secular lives, and even those of us in ministry, having that kind of time to sit and just focus on praying is nearly impossible. I myself pray throughout the day at various times, but it's not like spending hours in prayer, you know. It could be very short things. It could be just, you know, little supplications. Sometimes it's nothing more than, God help me. I'm about to nut up here. God help me, you know. And those are just as valid a prayer as if you were to spend, you know, 2 or 3 hours locked away in your bedroom praying, you know.
Right.
And God's answer is not always immediately evident either in prayer. Sometimes the answer to our request is no. We seem to think that just because, a lot of Christians seem to think that just because we ask, that God's going to automatically give it to us. Well, sometimes the answer is no, because that's the better answer for us. You know, I pray for $1 million. I know I would probably be a complete jerk if I won $1 million. God is saving me from myself by not giving me $1 million, you know. So sometimes that's the answer too.
Yeah, and prayer is, you know, it's not about quantity, it's about quality.
Right.
It's about surrendering our heart in those moments, whether it be a brief moment, you know, God help me prayer, or it's something lengthy where you spend time, you know, and prayer can be a season of being on the lookout for God communing with you. You know, if you're searching for an answer, you know, God show me what my next step in life is, or God show me what my next job is, or God help me learn to better my relationships, whatever it is, whatever it is. Sometimes having that prayer attitude is going through your day on the lookout of, maybe today I'll come across my answer. Maybe today I will come across, you know, God speaking through somebody, not to their knowledge, or me stumbling across an article, reading something, seeing something, whatever. Knowing in that season, in that moment of time, that you will come across that answer, because we know, looking through Scripture, we did a little 2-week study a few months ago at church about we titled the series Hearing the Voice of God, but it's more accurately knowing the leading of God. Sometimes that is a voice.
Right.
Sometimes it's a voice through another person. Sometimes it's just a strong knowing and so forth. But being aware in that moment, in that time, that you may receive direction.
Right.
And, you know, I've often told the story of how during some time of prayer years ago, I knew that I would be involved in, at the time, I just knew I'd be involved in the gay community. Well, in the LGBTQIA community. So I had no idea what that looked like. I had a picture that, oh, I'll have former gay people come to my church, or I'll have gay people come to my church, or I'll be involved with, you know, counseling gay people, because, you know, I didn't subscribe to the notion that we were in sin or anything like that.
Right.
And so I just didn't know what that looked like. And it took years before that came along. And that answer of how I would be involved, you know, probably 6-7 years down the road. And it was a particular time I wasn't looking for that answer. I was at a place in my life where I was looking for answers. I was in a very rough place. And, you know, God showed up in a bar and gave me my answer through another person of direction. And I look back at it now. You know, I was desperate for direction, and I didn't know that from years ago that would connect me to MCC.
Right.
So prayer is that conversation, whether it's me or whether it's God, whether it's both, whether it's, and it's about listening. It's also about speaking and talking. And there's so many benefits to prayer. It's not just about us either.
Right.
I think it's a vital part of our life. I think it's a part of our spiritual walk that many people shy away from because, one, they don't know enough about it. Two, they think prayer is, you know, what we do on Sunday when the bishop or the priest or the pastor leads us. And some people are like, oh, I can't sound like that. And so I'm always at the place of, well, you don't have to sound like, matter of fact, Jesus teaches about, you know, don't try to be like other people in your prayer time. Don't be like the scribes. Of course, they were doing it to gain, you know, popularity and people looking at them and going, ooh, they pray so eloquently and so wonderfully. We're specifically instructed not to be that type of person, but we are to have in any moment of our lives, have moments where we converse. And
certainly,
that's the beauty of prayer. And, you know, I think it's essential. I think it's a misunderstood part of our spiritual walk.
I agree. Bishop Ben says, imagine what this planet would be like if God said yes to every prayer.
We saw the movie, what was that movie where
Bruce Almighty?
Bruce Almighty, yeah.
Yeah.
Where he said he answered yes to everybody. Yeah. He said reply to all.
Yeah.
And yes to everybody. And all of a sudden, hell broke loose.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, consider the bipolar situation that would exist should that happen. You know, it's maybe that's why we have the bipolar weather we have right now.
Yeah, Lord, there's things that I remember praying about years ago. I'm like, God, thank you for not answering that one.
Right.
Thank you for not bringing that one to pass.
Right. Of course, there are certain things that from experience where we learn not to pray for.
Yeah.
And one of those is patience. If you want to see just how difficult life can be, pray for patience. Because your life will suddenly become very difficult. Because patience is one of those things that you have to learn by experience. So you will experience things that will test your patience.
Yep.
To try to get you there. So do not pray for patience unless you're ready to actually go through the process to get there.
Yep.
Prayer is also one of those things that is not to be used as a weapon either. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think that, and we saw this over the last few years, last decade or so, where people were using scripture to pray certain things, like may his days be short and may his children, whatever the verse was, I can't remember now, but it is essentially not a good prayer.
Right.
And people thought that that was an acceptable form of prayer. It's not. You know, God's not going to answer a prayer like that that strikes at someone and makes, you know, your petty desire into a reality.
Right.
You know, so, which goes to the whole notion of the genie in the bottle thing. You know, so many Christians today believe that all they have to do is rub the bottle and God will poof out and give them whatever they want. And that's just not the case. That's not how it works, you know.
Right.
And so many prosperity ministers in particular thrive on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the name it and claim it gospel, you know. it's just unbelievable. I believe that God blesses those who bless others. Don't get me wrong. But you're not going to get rich by sending, you know, $500 to Kenneth Copeland. You know, God's going to bless you for helping the homeless person on the street, or the single mother who's struggling to make ends meet, or, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
That's what God expects from us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not that you don't give to your church or something of that nature, but it's all about the balance.
Right.
You know, if you're looking to give to a, you know, in your eye, you know, someone who's got money or successful, and you know, I came out of that type of background. I never subscribed to it. I'll just say that at the preface here. I never subscribed to that. I was kind of a black sheep of the family, if you will, because I said, God, God's not a supernatural slot machine, you know. And that's so often the mentality is that if I give beyond what I'm supposed to, then, you know, I'm putting it in a slot machine and God right. will, you know, bring this great reward. And
right.
And I do believe in God blessing people. I do believe in God working it out to where our needs are met. But at the same time, I'm blessing others. I'm helping others, not just people that, you know, I'm comfortable with. Because I used to watch this group of, you know, these people, all these ministers would get together and they talk about, oh yeah, somebody blessed my child, somebody blessed this person. What they were doing is they'd get in this circle of friends. They were all on the same level and each one would just do something for the other right. and their other's family. And very rarely did you hear them talking about, it was all about, oh, I gave a car away. And I've done that. I've given people cars. And I've done this and I've done that. But also what was lacking is talking about, you know, helping a homeless shelter or
right.
helping a widow or an orphan or so on and so forth. And, you know, they were always looking to give money towards another quote unquote successful minister. You know, what about funding, you know, student lunches at a right. local school, or, you know, giving $1,000 towards teachers that need help in classrooms or so, you know, that type of stuff wasn't the ritzy glamour stuff.
Right.
You know, that's the type of giving that Jesus honed in on in the Gospels.
Right.
And focused in on is, you know, the people that can't do anything for you, they can't, you know, turn around and give you a car because you blessed them with a car. It's so messed up,
yeah.
the stuff that I would see other people do.
Right.
You know, I can think of a minister right now that gave to another successful minister a lot of money because he wanted to be in his inner circle. That
right.
he bought his way in, basically,
right.
to get his attention. And so that's the type of stuff that would happen. And they would talk about, oh, it's this seed, it's this, you know, you're showing your level of faith. And while there is an element of truth in that, it's perverted elements of truth.
Right.
You know, yes, where your money is, there your heart will be also. And so you can tell where people, you know, I can tell a lot about people by looking at where, what their, I'll say checkbook, that's very old school, but looking at their bank statement.
Right.
And so, you know, churches have to survive. You have to have money to pay the light bills. You have to have money to pay the staff and so forth. But when you get to the place where people are, giving so that the pastor can move from one multi-million-dollar mansion to another multi-million-dollar mansion, I think we've missed the point.
Right.
And so that whole spiritual slot machine revolved around prayer, trying to manipulate God into doing something, and then through the giving, trying to manipulate God into doing something. And, you know, I give because I love God. I pray because I enjoy communing with God.
Right.
And it's about relationship. You know, you bless other people. You bless people in your life because you love them.
Right.
Because you care for them. And it's the same relational thing. And we've in America, in the Western type mentality, is we have entered into this transactional gospel versus the relational gospel. You know, it's less about grace and mercy, and it's more about what can I get God to do for me? You
right.
know, can I do the Burger King thing and get it my way?
Right.
And, you know, prayer strips us of our, particularly if we're doing as Jesus taught us in Matthew 5, you know, praying for our enemies.
Right.
You know, you think about it, if you're praying for your enemies, and you're spending your time blessing them in your prayer time and praying for them, God help them, You know, what better prayer for an enemy is God, show them their ways, show them how to change, show them how to be graceful. Sometimes, if depending on the severity of the enemy and what they've done to us, that can be very difficult.
It certainly can. And I think that it's important to remember that we are called to pray for even our enemies, you know, and it's hard to maintain an adversarial relationship with someone when you're devoting that amount of time and energy into them in prayer.
Correct.
And so it helps us almost therapeutically to overcome that hurt and that anger and that frustration. I like the fact that you mentioned trying to manipulate God. We talked about this the other day when we came up with this topic, and that was the fact that you know, we claim to worship an all-powerful and all-knowing God, and then we think that God's not going to know that we're trying to manipulate him with our prayers and giving and stuff like that.
Well,
you know, so one of these things can't be true.
Oh, my goodness. You had to bring that up.
Right. One of these things can't be true. I mean, either God's all-knowing and knows that we're trying to manipulate him, or he's not all-knowing and our manipulation works, you know. So
why did you have to bring that up, Bishop?
Always got to be the one to poke the bear. Yes.
No, I think that's true.
It is. It's very true. And, you know, Scripture makes it very clear that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we ask in the wrong spirit, too.
Yes.
You know, if we're asking for something out of selfishness or pride or ego, those things are not going to come true. God's not going to bless us for asking for something that is detrimental and to ourselves or to others even. And so, you know, our prayers have to be in the right mindset. Our heart has to be right when we pray for something, when we pray for God to bless us or others. Our heart needs to be in the right place, that we're not looking to gain anything from it, but rather we are wanting it for others, for their good will and for their safety and security and that type of thing. Prayer is also kind of difficult for a lot of people because it's hard to quantify the answer to prayer. You know, for a lot of people, especially people scientifically minded, They like to be able to quantify everything.
Right.
You know? And so if they pray for something and they don't see a response or see an answer that can be quantifiable, that this happened by miraculous means, then they immediately assume that it, you know, their prayers were not answered.
Right.
And sometimes God uses other people to answer our prayers. You mentioned the bar, but I found in Waffle House at 2 a.m. in the morning, sometimes prayer gets answered, you know. I just happened to be at a Waffle House at 2 in the morning, which is rare for me, and somebody walks up and they're like, I've been struggling all week and asking God to send somebody to help me, and here you are, you know. Sometimes that's an answer to prayer in and of itself, you know, because I don't typically frequent the Waffle House at 2 in the morning. But just happened to be that one time that I decided to go, and there was somebody there who needed help. And, of course, Waffle House at 2 in the morning can also be a great dinner and a show, too, because the bars have all closed.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot happening.
All those people from the bars are now coming to get their munchies, and so
hot mess land sometimes.
It can be quite interesting, so you've never quite enjoyed a Waffle House at 2 in the morning until everybody in there is singing to Queen song,
right.
You know, at 2 in the morning in a Waffle House. So that was a little bit of a side trip, but okay.
Well, prayer can also reveal where you are.
Right.
If you find it hard to pray for somebody that's wronged you, you have a hard time praying for somebody that has hurt you, if you are just lost in prayer, it reveals kind of where you are with things. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's many times that there are fasts, there are feasts in the Old Testament that talk about, you know, examining yourself, looking inward. That's one thing that prayer does is, you know, if it's all about, you know, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, and I'm very rarely finding myself or hearing myself praying for another,
right,
I might need to check my my humility level. I might need to check my focus, because right. Because if I'm always focused on myself, then that's an issue.
Sure.
Yes, we have to do self-care, and I believe Scripture backs that up. Jesus told us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves.
Right.
And so it's important for us to take care of self as well.
Right.
But it shows me, you know, if I can open up my heart and pray for people that has wronged me,
right,
then it shows me that without, you know, any animosity or without any, you know, well, God help them, but I also hope they run off the side of the road on the way home today, mm-hmm. then it shows me that I haven't quite moved into that forgiveness stage of my life.
Right.
So notice when you are praying, what are you talking about? Where's your focus? That really helps you to kind of locate yourself. Might be something interesting when you locate yourself. You can tell your therapist, hey, the other day I was praying, I realized this about myself.
Right. Bishop Ben has a quick scenario for us.
Yeah.
What if someone approaches you and says, why do you pray to a fake sky daddy? How is that going to help you? What would be your answer? That's I get that a lot, actually, on TikTok. And my answer is, what is it harming me? I mean, the reality is, even if you don't believe that God exists, I do. I'm wasting nobody's time but my own. And if ultimately it leads me to treating people better and being a better human being, then it has enriched my life in a way. So, you know, why is it a problem?
Yeah. And I go back to, you know, what I said just a second ago. It opens up my eyes to where I am as a person.
Right.
You know, if I'm praying and spending time in a very precious, you know, time is precious to all of us, I'm investing that time in, you know, God help, you know, help Bishop see the direction that they need to go and help Bishop know
right.
the things that they need to know and so on and so forth. It means I'm investing time into another person. It helps me to realize that, you know, my heart's open towards others. If it's all about me and I can't bring myself to pray for somebody, it means my heart's wounded, closed, or whatever towards another.
Right. Certainly. It is a good gauge of where we are in not only our spiritual growth, but in our life as a good human being. I mean, and I think sometimes for me in particular, my moments of prayer come sometimes when someone has upset me or wronged me, and especially in public, and I stop for a moment to pray rather than immediately landing into them or berating them or whatever. It gives me that moment to pause and reflect upon a better avenue of dealing with this person. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination on that. Sometimes my brain kicks in before, or my mouth kicks in before my brain does. And, you know, but in most cases, it gives me an opportunity to handle it more pastorally, more on a human level than to just lambast the person. And I think that that's important. I think it's important that you use prayer to, as also a point to where you can stop and reflect for a moment on the situation you're dealing with. Very few situations need an answer yesterday. You can wait 5 or 10 seconds to say something. Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was thinking when I made that scenario, you know, there's quite a few things that those quite a few comments like that we get on TikTok quite frequently. And it makes me think, you know, wonder, do we as ministers, do we address it as a point of they don't believe, or are they searching for answers themselves? And at that point in time, when I see that, I usually use that at the time, point in time to pray for them, because you don't know what they're going through in life.
Certainly.
They could be suffering emotional anger or a loss in the family. It could be anything.
Right.
So at that time, I use that as a point in time to pray for people. But for me, I try to pray the liturgy of the hours, but it doesn't always happen that way for me. So I take what I can and pray what I can.
Right.
And yes, I do find it hard to pray for people that have done me wrong, but as we know this as ministers in our faith, we have to pray for them. And it's not as much for forgiveness for them, but more for us to heal.
Right.
That's how I look at the situation as far as prayer.
I agree. Well, and
but I also think about, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna finish my thought by saying, you know, I also think about, you know, prayer for people that are in jobs of knowledge, like doctors, nurses, teachers that are educating our youth today. And we should pray for all those people, because they're in positions where they need the prayer and support. And pray for our congregations, and pray for everybody in general.
Right. No, I agree, and I think that's a good point, too, is that it is an opportunity when people come to us and say things like that, for us to pray for them, you know, because we don't know what they're going through in their daily lives. You know, more often than not, I find people that make those comments have been very hurt by church. And they have divested themselves of anything spiritual or religious because of the pain and the injury that they receive in the church. And so it's an opportunity for us to pray for them to find that healing, you know, and maybe that healing comes through us, you know, by answering in a way that, as Scripture says, turns away wrath. Then we manage to make a connection with them and become friends with them. And then we can learn from each other and grow.
Yeah, and it helps. Again, it's that communing mm-hmm. and that conversation regarding our healing, regarding right. our us coming back to a place that reflects Christ, and, you know, it shines a light on those areas that are, you know, need tending to.
Right.
Weeds that are growing in our heart, in the garden of our heart.
Right.
It's so often I think about my life as a garden, a flower bed or whatever, where you're having to keep the weeds out. You're having to slowly, you know, you have to go back over certain things, and is that growing back, or did I get rid of it? Same thing with our heart is, and our spirit. We look at it in prayer, especially if you're praying, you know, God, show me things that I need to grow in, areas that I need to do, you know, X, Y, Z in, whatever it is. And if we're doing those things, then we can keep the weeds out of our lives as it will. That way it doesn't come in to choke out the things that are good, wholesome, pure, tries to choke out the love of God in our lives that is for us and then humanity.
Right.
So it really shines a light. When you're sitting there and you have a genuine desire to want to grow, then when you're sitting there and you're alone with just yourself and God, there are things that become very evident. Oh, yes. I need to work on that, or I need to do better, or I need to push harder in this particular area. And it's a strengthening time. You know, part of the things that when I come out of prayer is I find myself strengthened, right, and focused. You know, I want to do better here, I want to do better there, I want to embrace things here. And I think that's vital in our life.
Right. No, I agree completely. I think it's important that we transition our prayer life too from those the genie in a bottle type prayers to a more introspective, meditative time. We've kind of lost the art of meditation in Western Christianity, I think.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was a strong thing within the Eastern Church for many, many centuries, and still is in many monastic communities. But as far as meditation and reflection, Lectio Divina, and others in everyday life, very few people take that time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be long. It can be as short as 15 minutes, you know. But it's an opportunity to sit and just pray and meditate and reflect on where we are spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and to develop a better relationship with the Almighty, you know. And I think that it's imperative that we begin that transition, because when we have that selfish type of prayer life, it begins to reflect in everything in life, you know. And I think that that's part of what we see is the breakdown of that spiritual connection of prayer life and everything else is leading to a lot of the other issues that we experience on a daily basis. You know, people who are so willing to get angry at the drop of a hat.
Yep.
That are so willing to demean others and dehumanize others. You know, like I said earlier, when you're praying for somebody, it's hard to continue feeling angry or to feel animosity towards them. It's also harder to dehumanize them, you know, because you are investing that time and you are seeing them as a fellow human being. And unfortunately, because of the shift that's happened in the last 30 or 40 years, in Western Christianity, I think that we see that breakdown in that prayer life, that spiritualness of prayer life. And we have to get back to that. It's imperative. Go ahead.
I was going to add, you know, we had to think too about, there was a movie that was called Facing the Giants. You remember where the coach says, you give God the glory if we win, I'll give God the glory if we lose.
Right.
I think people have lost the sight of giving God the glory, even though it's a hard day, still give God the glory.
Yeah, you survive the day.
What's going on in your life, no matter if it's good or bad.
You know.
Exactly.
Celebrate the small victories even. You know, you survived the day.
That's right.
It was a horrible day, but you made it through. And, or it was, you've been sick for a while and it's been rough, but now you're getting better, you know. I want to share something that was early in my ministry. When I first came here in 2003, I came to North Augusta to take care of Bishop Parker, who was dying of cancer. And I had both the pleasure and the horror of being at his bedside as he passed away. that's a long story, but anyway. But we had prayed and prayed and prayed for months for his healing, for, you know, the treatments to be effective, for him to, you know, be restored. And one day he had already had his tracheotomy. He couldn't talk, so he was writing everything out to us on a little legal pad. And he wrote to me and he says, "Why are you so angry?" And I had to stop and think for a few minutes because I didn't really understand what he meant, because I didn't really notice that I was angry, you know. And it finally dawned on me that I was angry because, you know, I was not getting an answer to my prayer. You know, he was continuing to deteriorate, continuing to get worse. He was dying, you know. And so I told him that, and he said to me, he wrote back and said, "Have you ever thought that God is answering your prayer?" And I was like, "What in the world do you mean? I mean, you're dying. I mean, what do you mean?" And he said, he wrote back and he said, "When I die, I will no longer have cancer. I will no longer be in pain. My body will be restored and I will be in heaven."
That's right.
And he says, maybe that's God's answer. Is the ultimate healing. And that's what he wrote. The ultimate healing. But taught me two things that day. Number one, be very specific when you pray about what you want from God, because God is very literal. And number two, sometimes the answers are beyond our immediate understanding.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people ask me how I can love and support a God that gives children cancer. And my response to them is, God didn't give them cancer. They developed cancer because of our destruction of the environment. The microtoxins and microplastics that exist in our water, our air, our food, everything has caused them to have cancer. And their immediate follow-up is, then why doesn't God just heal them? And, you know, as hard as it is to understand and hard as it is to accept, sometimes that answer is the ultimate healing, where they're no longer suffering. And so I think that we have to keep that in mind, too. That goes along kind of with what you were saying, Bishop Ben, is sometimes defeat isn't always defeat. Sometimes it's a different form of winning, kind of like, I'm going to show off my geek side now. Kind of like in Star Wars, you know, where Vader thinks he's won against Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Kenobi says, "If you strike me down, I shall become stronger." And Vader goes ahead and kills him, but, and thinks he's won, but in reality, he set Obi-Wan free. And now Obi-Wan is one with the Force. It's the same general concept. Sometimes the answer is not what we imagine, but it's better than what we can imagine.
Yeah, when you're praying for other people.
You know, I remember when Pedro Michael was there.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was going to say, I remember when Pedro Michael was sick, and I remember he told me, when he was on his deathbed, he said, "Don't pray for my healing. Pray for me to go home." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "Think about it." And I remember, you know, he said, "I want to go home." So we started praying for him to go home. And sure enough, God answered our prayers. He took him home.
Right.
Yeah. When you're
sometimes praying, that prayer is needed to go home.
Right. Yeah. When you're praying for other people in those particular situations, we have to be careful. Because the manipulation prayers, the word that we have in English is witchcraft. The witchcraft type of prayers that people often pray is when we're wanting God to do a particular thing based on our vision in another person's life versus maybe their desire or the vision that God has for them, because you don't know what's in that person's heart, particularly when it comes to them ready to transition into eternity. And a lot of times when I'm praying for another person who's close to transitioning, I just ask that God will bring peace to their hearts and spirits, and that at the appointed time that they will enter into their rest.
Right.
And so, the ultimate healing does come when we transition into that presence, into that eternity.
Right.
And there's many people, you know, that we want to see healed, but they're ready to go see God.
Right.
You know, I knew when my grandmother passed 8 years ago that when she started her decline, I began to pray, you know, God, at the appointed time, let her enter her rest.
Right.
Because I knew after countless conversations with her that was, once she got to the place she couldn't take care of herself, that was her prayer.
Right.
Was she wanted to transition and go see her family that had already left. And so the selfish part of me wanted her to stay. The selfish part of me would give anything to have 10 minutes with her again.
Right.
To hear her laugh, to listen to her voice. But I know that she's living in that ultimate place of healing and of rest, and it's we have to be careful that we're not trying to again manipulate God into doing what we want, because that's when we're doing the prayer of missing. We're missing the target, and God in mercy doesn't give us what we're praying for.
Right.
You know, mercy not only comes in to protect others, but sometimes it comes in to protect us from ourselves.
Right. All right, Bishop Ben, your final thoughts?
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, most important for prayer is everybody, you know, keep your mind on the prayer thoughts, meditation, use the prayer, make a regular conversation to God, give him the thanks for the good days and give him the thanks for the bad days, because at least we survived it.
Amen. Reverend Mark?
Yeah, prayer, again, it's about that quality time of communion. And communion and communing with God doesn't necessarily have to have a bread and a cup with it. It's all throughout the day, knowing that you can have that conversation any moment. And it's about quality, the quality of your heart, giving your time that you want to hear from God and God wants to hear from you. Try it out. I think it's such a healing thing on multiple levels.
I agree. And my final thought is this. Pray and pray often. you know, be specific with God and wait on him. Spend time in meditation, just listening for the still small voice, listening for his answer through those around you. And use it to help build up those around you with strength and goodness and light, instead of, you know, as a weapon. Well, that concludes our podcast for this week. Next week, I have a couple of ideas, but we'll run them by the team and then get back to y'all about exactly what we're going to do. Right now, our websites are down, but you can still view us at pod.myocci.social. That site is still up and running. The hosting center that we have our servers at received a bad storm that damaged our other servers, so I'm in the process of trying to get those back up and running. But the pod.myocci.social is still working, so you can go there and listen to past episodes. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, I want to thank Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben for joining us and being our wonderful guests here tonight. And we'll see them again next week, hopefully. Until then, keep shining bright, my friends. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.